All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I love the sound of that fellowship. My name is Adam Peacock. I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for such a warm and gracious welcome, and thank you for the privilege of being able to share here at River Fellowship. But I'm going to jump right into the main scripture, the main text for us this morning as we get started, and then I'll say a quick prayer. This comes from Micah, the 6th chapter, verse 8. And knowing that many here have been part of this fellowship and that this church here honors the Word of God and the truth that it brings, I know that this is not going to be an unfamiliar verse for you, but I'm going to read it for us. It says this: "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness," or many translations say mercy or loving kindness, "and to walk humbly with your God." This morning we're going to be talking about this verse, what it means, what it means for us today, and how Jesus Christ sheds light on this admonition from God to us. And so if you would, I'd love just to invite you to bow your head in prayer again. And let's just ask that God will make our hearts, all of our hearts, good soil for his word this morning. Jesus, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you that you have been faithful for thousands upon thousands of years to speak to us, to reach out to us, to let us know what it is that you desire for us. And we thank you that the word has been made flesh in your son, Jesus Christ, that it is tabernacled with us and that it is alive. And so we ask, God, that your word would be alive to us and in us this morning, that it would do its work to highlight and pinpoint the things that you are after in each of us, and has already been prayed, Lord, that you would show us how you want us to live so that we can grow closer to you, and that it can be said of each one of us, as Paul wrote about those who live in relationship with you, that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it's fantastic that this is the Sunday that I get to minister here. I was born and raised. I know that, there's a lot of things planned on October 20 or 31st here in Sonoma County, California. And not everyone's going to be celebrating the chili cook-off, but let's be honest, that's a great reason to be alive, right? I understand. You need to understand that Pastor Chris has been talking to me about this chili cook-off for years. Somehow I didn't know it was today, though, so I did not bring my mom's recipe, and I'm actually pretty confident that I would not have won. But I am really excited to be here. I'm excited for this time. Right around this time in church history, too, it was a regular weekend, a regular time where people would celebrate those who had lived faithful lives honoring Jesus. And that's good. We need examples of what it is to live faithfully. And I know if I was to be here a little more regularly, that I would begin to be able to pick out the different ways that each one of you are examples of what it is to live as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. My heart and hope this morning is that I would be an encouragement. And that's not the only thing God wants a preacher to do. But this morning, I do feel like it's what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, is to be an encouragement. And specifically, ultimately, always, my encouragement needs to be that you would be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. But the kind of essence of that encouragement is that the town of Windsor in the county of Sonoma is a great place to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, that we need to be encouraged. This is a great place to follow Jesus. This is a great place to share the good news about who he is. This is a great place to shine the light of the gospel. This is a great place to put your roots down as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. This is a good place to pursue the life that God created us for and to be the church. That's a great place to say amen. I said that it's cool that I'm able to be here. And one of the reasons for that, and I'm going to get back in a minute a little bit more about me, is that almost 4 years ago, on November 10th, 2017, I can just, if the windows were a little different, I could almost see the parking place where I was sitting in my car. It was a white Mitsubishi Montero. I no longer own it. And I was waiting in a parking spot just down the street because I was supposed to have lunch at Casey's. And it was 11:57 a.m. And I had just gotten off the phone with one of the leaders in our church. And I hung up the phone. And if you know about me, I'm not always early to things. And so this was really unique for me that I was actually there for a lunch meeting before noon. And I just took a deep breath and just tried to give God a little bit of space. And something happened that I did not ever expect. God spoke into my heart and said, Adam, I have a change for you. And it means no longer being the pastor at City Life Fellowship. I had been pastoring City Life Fellowship for 15 years. I started in 2002 and we were coming to the end of 2016. And so blessed to be able to serve that congregation in that way. And so challenged by what I was hearing, but I had such a strong sense that this was the voice of God. So suddenly I was in this crucible of faith. I was at this crossroads and began the process of sharing that with my wife, sharing it with the elders of our church, and ultimately, we came in a process of discerning together that was the voice of God and that I was to step out in faith from that role where I'd been serving. The result of that was that God called me into a ministry that now makes a lot of sense. It was a huge part of even my work and call while I was pastoring City Life Fellowship. And it was this role of serving the body of Christ in being a sort of connector within the body, but especially a bridge from the body to help us be present in the community, in our interaction with government and nonprofits, other key stakeholders, to help us be salt and light, to help us serve. And what no one knew at the time was that we would be heading into some of the most intense, some of the most disastrous years in the history of Sonoma County. This happened just before the Sonoma County fires. And so for the last 4 years, by God's grace and in relationship with the body of Christ and pastors and all of that, I've served to help the church as we've responded to fires and to floods, and to a pandemic, as we continue to reach out to be God's hands and feet to the homeless and to those who are hungry, as we reach out to orphans and widows and help with foster care, and it's been the great privilege to do that. I do that under this ministry that has the name of Feathervine, and I know that sounds like kind of an interesting ministry, but it works well for Sonoma County, right? Sounds a little bit like a winery. So here's the deal. Here's the picture of what that is. I believe that God desires us to walk in a relationship with him that's characterized by faith and faithfulness. It says in the Bible that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes faith is described like flying, right? It's that higher law where we step out and we ask God to do what he promises in the scripture, to carry us on wings like eagles. But he's also called us to faithfulness. I love it in Psalm 37, where it's all about the fact, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. In Psalm 1, it talks about this life of faithfulness where you put your roots down and you're like a tree whose roots go into the ground and they find that living water. And so somehow this incredible picture, which is two expressions of the same thing, really, if you study the language, faith and faithfulness are two expressions of the same thing, but they're having roots and wings all at the same time. Thus, faith and faithfulness, feather vine. And so I am believe that God has called me to have roots and wings here in Sonoma County, to live a life of faith and faithfulness, and to be a witness to Jesus, and to serve the body of Christ in being a witness to Jesus Christ. And I have such a sense of camaraderie with Pastor Chris because he is on mission for Jesus Christ in this place. What I get consistently with him when I talk with him, when we meet with other leaders, when we sit down and have lunch together, is he is desperate for people to know Jesus Christ. He is desperate for them to come into the life that God has for them and to recognize the goodness of God that's been shown, as that while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, yet he came, that we don't have to try and be good enough for God to be loved by God, that he loved us when we were all in our messes, and that he came to reconcile us to himself so that we could come into the life that he's always designed and desired us for. And this is a key part of this verse in Micah 6:8, where he says, look, I've told you, I've made it known what I desire for you and what I desire from you. And I, if you can tell, am ready to preach this morning. But there's one other important detail, because I've not made this journey alone. And the encouragement that I want to bring, that not just comes out of my own life, but it comes from the fact that I am rooted and placed here. I love the encouragement. I was raised in a Christian home right here in Sonoma County, California. I have godly parents, and so I'm so grateful for that. I did have to go a little ways to meet my wife. I am married to an amazing woman. Her name's Joanne. She goes by Joe. And that's kind of, Joe is kind of a British Commonwealth type of thing that happens with Joanne. My wife is from New Zealand. Now, if any of you know about people from New Zealand, you might know that they call them Kiwis. Anyone know a Kiwi? So we often might think of a Kiwi fruit, but a Kiwi is actually a bird. Right, in New Zealand, it's like their national bird. Like we've got, you know, the bald eagle for America or the quail for California. For them, it's this little nocturnal bird called the kiwi. So we like to say, with my last name being Peacock, that the peacock married the kiwi, and now we have four peewees. So our peewees are not so peewee anymore. They're kind of in the teen years. We have a 19-year-old daughter, Isabella, a 17-year-old son, Zoran, a 15-year-old daughter, Ruby, and a 12-year-old daughter, Olivia. So things are busy in our home. And we were very blessed. It's a little bit expensive to get down to New Zealand. We were very blessed to be able to go and spend Christmas of 2019 in New Zealand. And of course, that was not too long before March of 2020, when everything shut down kind of globally. And so we're grateful for that experience. And so we got to see my wife's family there, just wonderful, godly family. And they loved having us down there. And are any of you familiar with the love languages, like the five love language stuff? Okay. So I have a niece, and her name is Emma. And she is an awesome young lady, and her love language is words of encouragement. Any of you know those? I mean, we're there, and she's already writing cards to us like we had left. It was just what she wanted to do. And I'll never forget getting this one card from her, and it was just, so glad you're here, and we love you guys so much, and all that different stuff. But I had a hard time getting past the first couple lines, or the first couple words, because it said, "Dear Uncle Adam." And that was fine, except she spelled uncle, U-N-C, doing good, OOL, Dear Uncool Adam. And for the rest of the trip, I was known as Uncool Adam. You know, her heart was love, her purpose was love, and really, there was a relationship there that she was celebrating, but a few things got lost in translation, right? And that's going back to my heart for us. You know, I think the Lord wants us to be planted. I talked about the roots going down in the ground. He wants his church to be deeply planted and rooted in him. And he wants us to be deeply planted and rooted in the place where he's called us. And part of why I want to bring this word of encouragement to us is because in the same way that I could take uncool Adam in the wrong way, I think the enemy wants to write a bad banner over what it is to be a Christian in Sonoma County. And I don't want you to believe it. I don't want you to be taken in by that. Because this is not a bad place to be a Christian. It's a great place to be a Christian. It's a great place to be a witness. Jesus sent us here when he said, go into all the earth. We want to dwell in this land and cultivate faithfulness. Amen? All right, so I will get to Micah 6:8 in one more second. Thank you for your graciousness with all of that context. But I think it's important just to say this, to let you know my understanding about Christianity. And I just want to read a verse about about Jesus from Colossians 1, verse 16. It says this, for by him, and that him is Jesus Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And then listen to this. All things have been created by him and for him. By him and for him. It goes on, he is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Christianity is not about me, it's not about you, it's about Jesus. Sometimes we can, in talking about the incredible love of God and talking about the incredible expression of that love in Jesus coming to earth, in him living in the midst of a broken and fallen world, in him being despised and rejected, ultimately in him suffering death at the cross, and doing that in love, doing that in order to reconcile us to God, dying, being buried, raising in resurrection life, we can make ourselves the focus of the gospel. And it's true that God's love is lavish for us and that he did all of those things. But Paul is reminding the Christians in Colossia, and through them, through this letter, the Spirit is reminding us that the purpose of Christianity is not you and me having a good life. The purpose of Christianity is that Jesus Christ will be exalted in everything and will fill all things, and that he will be glorified. But I think there's a thing that happens to us that gets us a little bit sideways if we don't really remember all of those things, because it causes us to begin to orient faith around our lives, our experience, how things go for us, as opposed to Christ's life, his experience, his purposes, his glory. And while God shows us over and over his desire to bless us, the greatest blessing that we can have is to be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the greatest blessing we can have. And the whole purpose of the scripture, Jesus says, and the scripture itself testifies, is to lead us into relationship with Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Not about him orienting himself around us, but about us orienting ourselves around him, around Jesus Christ. Now, we have to be honest that we live in a world that wants us to think otherwise. We live in a world that wants us to think that it is all about me. And it does it in incredible ways. There's this thing that just had a birthday called the internet. Any of you heard of it? All right? And if you decide to interact with the internet, you begin to engage in a world that is constantly collecting information about you and what you're interested in and where you shop and what you do. And then it is constantly reorienting itself to tailor itself towards you and your likes and your interests. And you never asked it to do it once. But that interaction is just one picture of the fact that the world wants you to get to do the things it wants you to do by making you think that life is about you. Am I talking to the right group of people here? And this is something that our sinful nature, our unredeemed nature, our unsubmitted nature to Jesus Christ absolutely loves. We love to be self-justified. We love to be self-gratified. We love to be self-involved. These things that cater to us, right, end up leading us astray. And that's exactly what happened to Israel as they were living in a good place. They were living in a land that God had promised them, but had stopped living faithfully to the God who brought them there in incredibly miraculous ways. And they'd begun to forget the word of God. They'd begun to twist the word of God. That's the incredible thing, you know, moving forward to when Jesus came. What was so amazing is that Jesus didn't come to an Israel that didn't care about the word of God, but many of those who had actually cared very much about the word of God had somehow twisted it to make it something that was oriented towards themselves. And it had actually taken them away from faithfulness. And this is the situation that the Holy Spirit is addressing through Micah as he's writing to Israel. As judgment is being proclaimed over them, as God is saying, you have gone astray. You have missed the point, and judgment is coming. And there's this question that arises, well, what is it that God's after? What is it that's going to please him? And so we get this answer again in verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, loving kindness, the Hebrew word is chesed, and to walk humbly with your God. First of all, just to be clear, when it says he has told you, it's being very clear in its reference. And it's speaking to the scripture. It's speaking to the word of God. It's speaking to the testimony of the fact that God was very faithful to Israel, not just to rescue them, not just to provide leaders, not just to express his love in amazing ways and miraculous power, but to give them the word of truth, to put it forward line upon line, precept upon precept, as to what it was to live and dwell faithfully in the earth. Some examples of that you could see are found in Deuteronomy. And one of the examples of that that's so clear, listen to this, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Now, the order is flipped, but it's really clear. Listen to this. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require from you? Wow, that sounds really familiar. But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and this is just a transliteration of walk humbly in the way that is. It's just right there. It starts with walk humbly. And to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Wow, that sounds like something Jesus said when he talked about the greatest commandment. And to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Deuteronomy 10:12. And so here the prophet is saying, look, The word of God is there. The word of God is clear. When it talks about to do justice, this is a specific reflection to how they interact as a community, how they care for one another. And God is very clear about how we're to treat one another in the scripture. He's very clear about the nature of what it looks like to love your neighbor. And in case we got confused about it, Jesus has come and has fulfilled that law. He's demonstrated what love looks like when someone walks in obedience to God, the compassion and the righteousness. This element of loving mercy, this word chesed, this is in the Hebrew, one of the primary descriptors of the loving kindness of God, the faithfulness of God. When the psalm says that God's mercies are new every morning, it's speaking of this faithful, abiding, loving kindness. In my opinion, and not that I'm, you know, some amazing scholar, but this word has all the fullness and richness of the word agape in the Greek, right? It's that element of that self-sacrificial, unchanging love. It is in the Old Testament, maybe the single word that best captures God's heart towards his creation, this abiding covenantal faithfulness. I mentioned that I was grew up in the church. And by God's grace, he just put a hunger to know him. And at a young age, I didn't have to end up going to jail to recognize that there was this propensity in me to go my own way and to disobey. That even at a young age, I was sinful. That I needed a savior. And so I remember actually going into the bathroom at my house, trying to find a quiet, hidden place and just praying, Jesus, I love you. Forgive me for my sin. Come into my life. And in that moment, my life changed. And being a kid trying to figure it all out and so wanting to please God, I remained frustrated at the fact that I would still disobey, that I'd still be selfish, that I'd still do wrong things. And I remember as I was learning more about the covenant faithfulness of God, I probably asked Jesus into my heart 200 times before the age of 12. Am I the only one that's asked Jesus into his heart more than once? Right? And I just remember as God began to help me understand his chesed, I said, Adam, the well of my mercy, the well of my faithfulness, the well of my covenant love is deeper than the well of your fallenness, deeper than the well of your selfishness, deeper than the well of your sin. I'm going to win in your life. I'm going to win in your heart. You've been redeemed. You've been reconciled to me. This is that chesed love. It's the word that God proclaims as he passes by Moses in Exodus 30. He says, I am the Lord, the chesed one. And then we see, and it's where I want to focus here as we move to this encouragement about ministry here in Sonoma County. He says, and to walk humbly with your God. The specific word that Micah uses here is actually kind of unique in the Old Testament, but it relates to this element of the fear of the Lord, of walking. It ties in directly to that verse in Deuteronomy 10:12 there. And it's this element of walking circumspectly. It's recognizing and honoring and revering God, his call on our lives. And this element, this key element of the fear of the Lord to bring forward is not just an awe of who God is, but a sense of responsibility of what he's called us to. This is amazing here. He says he has told you what it is that he requires of you, what it is that he desires for you, that you would walk with God. Friends, that is an unbelievable thing. The God of the universe wants us beside him. This is the call from Jesus to each one of us. Follow me. And it's not just only, I don't mean just in a negative way, it's not only obey my commandments, let the word dwell richly in you. It is walk with me, know me. This is not designed to just guide our behavior. It's designed to lead us into an intimate relationship with God. Walk humbly with your God. This says to us that God is a relational God and wants relationship with you. It says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. When you walk with someone, you walk near them. You know their heart and they know yours. There's awareness of one another's presence. You're experiencing things together. You hear one another's voice. You're going somewhere. There's a sense of movement and purpose. I was thinking about a title for the message this morning. I haven't given that, have I? You know, in light of the encouragement that I'm after, we live in a beautiful place, a wonderful place. But in many ways, it's been really hard, right? And there are people, for various reasons, I can't speak to any of the specific ones, but there's a whole bunch of people who've decided this is no longer a good place to live. Am I talking to the right people? That's not the first time you've, right? What I want to encourage you about as we look at these verses, as we consider what God's made clear to us, not just in the word, but his desire for relationship with us. And what happens as we come into a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ is that God's desire for each one of us is not that we would have the good life, but that we would become good at life because we're walking with God. If you want to put a title over this message, it would be good at life. God wants us to be salt and light here. And that our witness would not be that we're amazing people, but that we're people in an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. And that the fruit of that relationship is that somehow, regardless of the circumstances around us, we're good at life. As Paul talked about, he said, look, I can abound or I can have little. I can be in easy circumstances or difficult circumstances. But in all of those things, I found strength or weakness that God's grace is sufficient for me. I think about the difference between the rich young ruler. They talk about this encounter that Jesus has in Luke chapter 18 with the rich young ruler. He was someone who had lived a devout life, someone who had been successful and had great riches. You know, there were certain boxes that he could check. It says that Jesus loved him. He saw his heart. But something in that rich young ruler recognized that something was missing. And in certain ways, what Jesus invited him to do is to walk humbly with his God. To sell those things that had him, that he thought he had, but that actually had him. And to follow Jesus. To walk with him humbly in the world. And to find himself filled with what he had been missing. Someone who had the type of witness that I'm talking about in an Old Testament context was Joseph. Joseph grew up and looking through the lens of Jesus, looking through the lens of Scripture, you see that there was a calling on his life. There was a favor and a grace on his life. He enjoyed that favor for a season. And then his brothers turned on him and they sold him into slavery. Must have been really hard to be betrayed like that. And then I'm sure that his life was not pleasant as a slave. You know what the Scripture says? God was with him. And so what happened? Even in slavery, even in those challenging and terrible circumstances, Joseph was good at life. And so life was nurtured around him. And he ended up ascending in that context of slavery. He was still a slave, but ascending to a place of favor. And then he's falsely accused of a really terrible crime. And so he's thrown in jail. And he went from a bad place to an even worse place. I mean, those were not good circumstances in that jail. But the Bible says and God was with him. And Joseph was good at life. And so he ended up in the midst of those terrible circumstances, still having life thriving around him. And out of that, he bore this witness. He had this gift from God to interpret dreams. And ultimately, that brings him out of prison to the palace. And God was with him. And as a result, he was good at life. And life was nurtured and cultivated around him in such a way that it ended up saving his family that had betrayed him and being an amazing picture of Jesus Christ. From these verses in Micah 6:8, we hear God crying out to us again. I'm speaking to you. I'm after you. I'm not hidden. I've told you, I've made it plain in my word who I am and how I am and what I desire for you. This relationship that you've been invited into, that's been made clear to us in the life of Jesus Christ. And now, if you will come to me, if you will walk with me, if you will stop going your own way, but walk in the way of the Lord, walk in relationship with Jesus. Like Joseph, I want to be with you. I want to be in you. I want to work through you. I want to make you good at life in Windsor of Sonoma County, California. And there may be challenges. And it may not be the political environment or the economic environment or the ecological disaster environment that you want to work in, but I can make you good at life because I'm putting my life in you. And it's not about what you have. It's about who you are and what I do in you and through you. And ultimately, you will never be fulfilled possessing things in the way that you will be fulfilled knowing my presence is with you and in you. And here's what I'm seeing as I encounter in this incredible privilege of working with the body of Christ. I am seeing the body of Christ being salt and light. So in case you're reading a letter over Sonoma County that says, "Dear uncool Sonoma County," let me tell you that that is not the word of the Lord to you or to this place. This is a good place to put the roots of your Christian life down. This is a good place to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This is a place where you can thrive just like Joseph did as you will press into the life and presence and word of God. So I've lived here a long time. Let me tell you some things. First, I don't have an uninformed opinion, but I will say it humbly, that there is more relationship in the body of Christ, in the Church of Jesus Christ, here in Sonoma County right now, than there's probably ever been. I know that's a really bold statement, but I hope that you will challenge this, that you will look into this, that you will consider this. Talk to Pastor Chris. I'll give you just a few examples. This past week, I had a chance to interact with leaders from 5 different movements here in Sonoma County. Did you know that for over 20 years, there's a group of pastors in Petaluma who've been meeting every Thursday morning to pray and to seek God for his purposes for that city and for the church? They've been nurturing and cultivating relationship. They've been saying, we're not going to have competition with one another. We're going to collaborate and cooperate for the kingdom of God. And then you move up the freeway, and there's a group of pastors that meet every month in Rohnert Park and Cotati who are praying for that city and saying, how do we come together to be faithful to the Great Commission that will go into this place where we've been planted and that will preach the good news of Jesus and teach people to obey the things that he's commanded, that we will baptize them into the church and that we'll see God glorified. And then you go further up the freeway and there is pastors in Santa Rosa meeting twice a month, praying the exact same thing. And then you go up further up the freeway and you know this, that pastors here in Windsor, because you're a part of it, have been encouraging one another. They've been strengthening one another. You guys find ways to come together, whether it's Windsor Kids or what you've done with youth or other ways of reaching out. And you are a faithful witness to this place. And I'll tell you, because I interact with county leaders, interact a lot with North County leaders, that the church has a good witness here in this town. Pastors from West County are getting together, seeking God and saying, we haven't had a rich history. We haven't pressed in together, but now is the time to do that. Pastors of Spanish-speaking congregations, there's a whole group of them that are getting together. They're crying out and saying, look, there's a huge part of the population of this county that we're not going to reach through a lot of the English-speaking churches. We're going to have to reach them through Spanish-speaking churches. So how do we get better at encouraging one another, of proclaiming the gospel, of coming together to be the body of Christ, of encouraging one another and supporting one another so this community can hear the truth about who Jesus Christ is? Do you understand how wonderful and meaningful it is? Do you know in about 10 days that we're going to start up the nomadic shelter again? I think that's a ministry that this congregation cares about. We've got over 30 congregations, and it's growing, it's regrowing. At one point, we had almost 60 congregations who are coming together and saying, we can accomplish things together we couldn't accomplish alone. We're not able to take a group of, 25 to 40 unsheltered people into our sanctuary, every night and feed them every night, but we can do it one time. But when we do it together with the rest of the body of Christ, we can provide a resource that makes a huge impact in showing the love of God. And we can do it in a way that not only meets their physical needs, but speaks hope into their situation and tells them about Jesus Christ. Friends, this is a great thing. This is amazing. Not every community has this. Do you know that across this county, and I know the public school system is very challenging. Very challenging. And I don't want to tell you that the evil that you're seeing in the dynamics around that is not there, but I want to tell you that there is also light in that darkness. And what we are seeing is there's, across this county, there's over 25 different congregations that I'm aware of that are reaching out into the public school system, and God is doing incredible things there. We have a school in this county where the principal has invited the pastor and youth pastor to come on that campus every week to just play with the kids and to build relationship with them. And as an example, that pastor and that church has kind of become like the church for that school. When they did their open house at the end of the year, this is a public school I'm talking about. When they did their open house at the end of the year, a couple years back, they said, this is when we celebrate all the things that we've accomplished as a school and we show the projects. You've been a part of our school experience. Can your church come and have a booth at our open house? We've got schools in Sonoma County that are allowing churches to host VBSs on their school campus in the summer and inviting the kids from that public school to go to that VBS. A couple of years ago, the VBS at this one school, they were raising money for a missions trip, a short-term mission trip to Mexico, and the kids who brought the most money were from unchristian homes. In fact, I know I'm being recorded here, but there's some great things that are going on in the schools. I want to be careful. I could keep going. It's absolutely amazing. Pastors being invited into classrooms to speak blessing over the kids, and principals who are opening their heart and confiding about and asking for help. We've got a principal. My wife's in a Bible study with the principal for a big school in this county. And man, she's just on fire for Jesus right now. My wife got a text at 6:15 in the morning, her talking about how amazing the Gospel of John is. Don't read the word uncool over Sonoma County. We're in a process of doing something, and we, being the larger body of Christ, revolutionary in the foster care system, reaching out to orphans and widows, being there for families in crisis. Some of you may or may not know this, but for the last 5 years or so, churches have come together and put on a summer camp specifically for foster care kids. And we are seeing kids in really rough and broken circumstances. We need to understand that one of the things that makes this such a biblical ministry, but also such a strategic ministry, is that the stats are terrible. Once a kid gets in the system, their chances of dropping out of school go way up. Their chances of being incarcerated go way up. Their chances of being homeless go way up. Their chances of ending up on some sort of a government subsidy program go way up. All of those types of issues. Their chances of creating another broken family go way up. So in ministering into this situation, it's helping those kids in that situation, but it's also like this upstream investment, right? In dealing with all of these other issues. And we have had such an amazing impact in that place. And here's the thing that's so challenging about it for the county is that there are some in the county who aren't excited about the church doing that. But they can't argue with the good of it. There was a few, I got wind, behind the scenes, there were a few that said, hey, what if we tried to create our own Royal Family Kids Camp? What if we tried and did an end around the church? And you know what they said? We can't do it. It's impossible. Not only can we not afford it, but here's the thing. We can't imitate the love of Jesus, is basically what they're saying. We can't find in Sonoma County, 80 people to give up a week of their time and take vacation to love on these kids. We can't mimic the experience. It's like Moses' staff being thrown down, right? The magicians can throw theirs down, but it's clear which staff eats the other ones. There's a program called CarePool. I know I'm going on. Guys, you were called for such a time as this, in this place. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he was thinking about you when he was thinking about Windsor, in this place. This is a place to dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Our generosity, our service, our witness, just living and going around with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, it is making a difference. And God cares that we are here. And he's told us what he's called us to do. And he's equipped us and he's filled us with his spirit and he's given us his word. Throughout this last year, we had, usually it was, 25 to 30, but as many as 50 pastors talking on a weekly basis with government officials. And it was so cool to see their perspective change. Look, there's a lot of things I did not like about how all of that went. All right. I don't want to, rewrite history or change things. But I'll tell you what we heard on a consistent basis. Wow. The church is more than just a group of people who meet once a week in a big room. The church is a community. The church are the ones who are out there making a difference, loving people, feeding people, caring for people. They're the ones being good neighbors. They're the ones who are continuing to reach out. Even when we're making it tougher on them rather than easier on them, they're still reaching out. And we know that's because it's not about the praise that we receive or the recognition that we give. It's about the love that God has put into our hearts because of the change that happens when someone comes into relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Uncool Adam believes that it is cool to serve Jesus in Sonoma County, California. And I want to bring a message of hope and encouragement, and I want to thank you, because part of why I'm encouraged is because of the support that I get. I'm not out there just trying to do good things for Jesus. I'm part of a family of God. I'm part of a body of Christ. I'm encouraged in the Lord by this man right here. And we are encouraged by other brothers and sisters. I'm supported by congregations. And my desire, my encouragement, even if I could do better this morning than I've done, is to be a present voice to you, to encourage you, to inform you, to help all of us respond to the God who's made it clear what it is that he desires for us, what he wants for us, that we would do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. I just want to close by praying for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this time, for this church, for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for who you are and for what you've done. I thank you that if you are for us, who can be against us? And that, Lord, you didn't design us to thrive in a lab. You designed us to thrive in Sonoma County. You designed us, God, to be a witness for you here in this place. And Lord, we want to say to you how grateful we are for your life and for your love. And Lord, we want to invite you, Lord, to continue to understand what it looks like to have life and to have it abundantly. Lord, that the witness of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit would be the witness of this church. For those, Lord, who are discouraged, who are tired, who are fatigued, God, I know that's all of us in one way or another, but I pray, God, that your word would come to them even afresh this morning, as you promised, that if we will wait on you, if we will put our roots deep down into you, if we will continue to hope in you, Lord God, that you said you will renew our strength and you will cause us to rise up with wings like eagles, and that we will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint, Lord God. And so I pray that for those who are challenging, Lord. And I pray for those who, it's the enemy, it's not you, but if there's anyone here where the enemy is causing them to despise where they are, to despise the circumstances, Father, that are maybe making things difficult, or maybe there's just a sense of pain or loss, I pray that there'll be comfort and the truth of what it is to be a witness will be here, Lord, that this will be a church that's on mission for Jesus Christ in this place, and that we'll remember that the Christian life is not about giving us a good life, but it's about glorifying Jesus Christ, and that's how life becomes what it's made to be. And so, Lord, be the center here. Anchor us in you. Let your word continue to go forth with power, and Lord, allow us to be a faithful witness in word and deed to the glory of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.